Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this our Bible study hour. We're glad to have you with us. We're going to get back in our Father's Word, the book of Proverbs. You know, you can pick up anywhere you like in the book of Proverbs, and you're right at home. It any place you start or any place you end. I think it is probably next to the great book of Ecclesiastes as far as telling us how to be happy in these flesh bodies. And we're going to come up here to chapter 18, and actually it's your personal virtue in social life, all right, telling you how to get along, how to receive people, and how people will receive you. So having said that, chapter 18, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 1, and it reads, Desire a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Okay, let's break this down just a little bit. It's talking about a recluse. It's a recluse that separates himself and he seeks wisdom, but actually what he ends up doing, he argues against or intermeddleth, means to be quarrelsome with anything that's stable. Just nothing ever quite suits him. If you want to have trouble in social life, that's a good way to start. Okay. And what it means is this person probably thinks they know a great deal more about life than they know nothing. Okay. And in their search, they become quarrelsome with everything they see. Verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, that his heart may vent itself. His vanity leads him to self-display, displays himself. Okay. And when a fool displays himself, guess what shows? Okay. He makes a fool out of himself. And he has no delight in understanding, because understanding comes from who? Our Father. And if you don't seek that understanding from our Father, then you're a fool indeed. Verse 3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt. It always follows. And with ignominy of reproach, in other words, with disgrace and shame, you're always going to have reproach. Okay, it's going to happen. You can count on it. Anytime you have a wicked person, you want to be careful who you yoke yourself to, because certainly contempt is going to follow. It's going to happen. I will say, we're talking about being sociable and getting along. Your personal virtues in social life, meaning a person like this is not going to get along well, and you don't want to be hooked to them, okay? And verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Now, what is this? What about deep waters? Deep waters always run smooth and clear. Okay, you don't see them rushing like in rapids or something. It's always thought that is deep. And as far as wisdom as a flowing, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook, why? Because where does it come from? All you learned back in chapter 1, verse 7, you don't ever want to forget it, that all wisdom comes from our Father, and the beginning of wisdom is to love Him. And certainly this wellspring is our Father, and He is that living water, and He is that one that refreshes us, that blesses us, that keeps us. And so don't follow wickedness, follow the truth, and get wisdom and get understanding. Verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. It's not good to accept the the person of the wicked. Why? Because they get you in trouble. Always will. Contempt, what's going to follow. And shame is going to follow. So you do not, never tie yourself to a wicked person. And don't ever dare overthrow a righteous person in judgment. That is, say, hire a false witness. Why? Because God will not tolerate it. This is an abomination to Him. And anytime you, God's elect are His righteous, that is to say, the upright ones. And God takes care of His own. This is a difficult lesson for some people to learn. Don't, God says, touch not mine anointed, and He meant it, okay, with unrighteousness and deceit. Verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. That's to say strikes, the old whip. Going to get him in trouble. It's always that way. A fool's lips is going to get him in trouble. He will contend with everyone and everything. And a fool always thinks to himself that he knows pretty well everything. This is the entire book of Job teaches this same lesson. I mean, 38 chapters of Job listening to a bunch of ratchet jaws that had no idea what they were talking about. And finally, God appeared on the scene and said, why do you listen to these jerks? Well, he said, people with no knowledge, that's what a jerk is, okay? And told Job, get up from there and listen to me. Listen to your father. So if you want knowledge, that's where it comes from, okay? That's why he wrote you this letter, so that you can gain that knowledge. Because a wicked mouth is going to get you stripes one way or the other. There's no free ride. You'll pay. Okay. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. He destroys himself. And his lips are the snare of his soul. And so it is, you know. If you listen to a fool, you're a bigger fool than he is. And this is why you're not to judge, but you are to practice discretion and discernment. If you discern that someone is a fool and you listen to them, then you become, after you know for a fact, you're a bigger fool than they are. Okay. This even works in marriage. Okay. Sometimes a marriage that happened outside of the graces of God and not blessed of God. Why? Because one of them's a fool, whether it's male or female. Then if you, well, a woman is supposed to submit to her husband. What if he's a fool? If he's a fool and she submits to him or listens to him, she's a bigger fool than he is. So it takes a little bit of understanding and common sense and wisdom to be able to master and have God's blessings. Because, again, the fool's mouth brings destruction. You don't need that in your family, for certain. And his lips are the snare of his soul. It'll send him to hell, ultimately, if he doesn't change. Verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let's do a little bit of work on this, okay? What this is called, a talebearer is somebody that gossips a lot, likes to tell lies or things that might offend people. And as wounds should be dainty morsels, okay? Because they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, people love to hear those little dainty morsels of deceit and gossip and trash. You would see a lot of people just love to hear that stuff. And it's poison. That's why you always nip it in the bud. Don't put up with it. Do not tolerate it. Life is way too short to have gossipers in your midst. Again, as wounds means dainty morsels in the Hebrew manuscripts. They just love it. And a person that loves to hear that stuff, you want no part of them. Verse 9. He also that is slothful, that's to say lazy, in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You'll never find truer words. Don't ever have a lazy person on your payroll, because all they'll do is bring waste, one thing, then another. They're just not any good. God, in this book of Proverbs, rather, soon we'll get there before it's over, he likens a lazy person to hinges, like hinges on a door, only they're hinged to a mattress. They just flop from one side to the other. I'd say, I'll do it tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. Well, because they're lazy, and that makes them a waster. Oh, makes a lot of promises. I'll get around to it, but it never happens. Why? Well, they're slothful, which means in the Hebrew tongue, they're lazy. Verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a watchtower that protects you, guards. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In other words, when you go into that tower that our Father provides for you, it's a higher level of thinking. And when you, that's in a sense, resurrected to a higher level of thinking, that is to say, in our Father's Word, and our Father's blessings and His truth keeps you safe. It keeps you out of harm's way. It teaches you how to protect yourself. It teaches you how to, in His wisdom, to be prepared for any set of circumstances that might arrive or should come your way. Our Father is that strong tower, and He always looks out for His own. He truly does. Well, some might say, well, I always end up getting in trouble. Well, get wise then, okay? Smarten up. Learn to love your Father and take His advice. Okay. And you're going to have some say, well, why do these little old children suffer? It's because man lets them. Don't try to blame it on God. It's because God gave us a strict set of orders on what to do with somebody that will molest a child. You're supposed to kill them, put them out of their misery. I guarantee you they won't do it again. That's God's order. Send them up here to me. I'll take care of them, God says. Others will see and hear, and these things will cease happening among you. But we don't do that. The adults, not the children, the adults let the murderers get away with it. So don't blame that on God. God keeps us safe when we learn to use the wisdom that He gives us following His instructions in all things. Verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. In his own imagination, he thinks his wealth takes care of him. It won't. You can't buy your way into anything. That just won't cut it. It won't fly. Okay. And if you think that the wealth itself protects, you've got to be wise enough, number one, to even protect the wealth that you have. Or you'll lose it. It'll get away from you. But his own imagination can get him in a bunch of trouble. Okay. Verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. That's prideful. And before honor is humility. In other words, destruction... pride, what did pride get Satan? Ezekiel chapter 28. Satan became prideful, and that was his downfall. That's when God sentenced him to death. That is to say, to turn him to ashes within Ezekiel 28 verses 18 and 19. So pride will do that to you. It will destroy you. Self-pride and self-righteousness, but honor always before humility. It pays great dividends. Verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know, we're all a little bit guilty of that. Somebody will start asking you something, and you'll begin to answer before they even finish. And really, you never hear the entire problem. So that's kind of folly within itself. And I think everyone's a little bit guilty of that. Just be patient and hear the whole matter before you give an answer. One little twist sometimes can change an entire situation. When you get, I know time is short, and have to make do with the best we can. But be careful that you cut somebody off asking a question. You might miss the main part. Don't do that. Okay. I think we could all use a little bit of help in that. Verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That's to say his sickness. Okay. Your spirit can, a good spirit with a good attitude is healing. Okay. Very healing. And, but a wounded spirit or a broken spirit, who can bear it? I mean, you can just destroy yourself by your own spirit being broken and absolutely giving up hope and feeling nothing but sorry for yourself rather than counting your blessings. You always have them when you look around. There's always wisdom to be gained around you everywhere. Gain that wisdom and let your spirit be up. You can always cut it. You're can-do type people. But you get down in the dumps on yourself and it will make you sick. And a broken spirit, who can bear it? Nobody can. That's why you have to realize this, your spirit is the intellect of your soul. And your soul is blessed by Almighty God. So don't let yourself get down in that respect. God has made his promises, and he says to you in the great book of Isaiah, hey, remind me of those promises I made to you, and let's talk about it. Number one, that means you have to be familiar with his book, his letter to us, to know which promises he made before you can talk to him about it. Because if you're intelligent enough and you have enough wisdom to be able to talk to him about it, he's going to answer you. He's going to listen to you. That's why he says, let's parley. Let's talk about it. It documents that you care. And a broken spirit, don't ever let yourself get into that condition. I think probably drugs is the greatest thing to break a spirit, to make it not care a thing about the person that was. Because it changes the whole spirit, and it becomes worthless, broken, down, and out, where they'll stoop to thievery or robbery or anything else to get a fix. Okay. That's what a broken spirit will do for you. Come out of it. Shake yourself and know that a good spirit is very healing. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. What is a prudent person? A prudent person is one that cautiously approaches wisdom and understanding. I mean, is cautious in what they do. That is to say, they think things through. And a wise person always seeks more knowledge and more wisdom. In studying, where do I find that wisdom? Don't be stupid. Well, I need this book, and I need that book, and I need something. No. Where does all wisdom come from? Chapter 1, verse 7. All wisdom comes from our Father, and the beginning is you're loving him, reverencing him. Verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. When God, this word gift is not bribe, as we've noticed it in several places in the manuscripts. Okay. This means a gift from God. And God gives these gifts, and everyone has one of some sort. It's their ability to serve God. And a gift will always make room for itself. Why? You don't have to prove it. If you have a gift from God, it will make room for itself, meaning people are going to approach you, and they're going to ask assistance. That gift, whatever it might be, is the blessings, not just to you, it's from God and it's to everyone.
Okay.
And it always makes room for itself. I'll give you another clue about a gift, a true gift from God. In the Greek manuscripts, it's charisma.
Okay.
And in Romans chapter 11, God will never reclaim or take away a gift. Once He gives it to you, you're stuck with it.
Okay.
And anytime you try to get away from that gift, you're going to take a thumping.
All right.
From Him.
Okay.
A man's gift maketh room for itself and bringeth him to great men. It goes far and it goes distances. 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh searcheth him. This is ex parte, okay? It means you hear the first witness at a trial, and that makes sense to me. I'll just make a judgment that this man is right. Well, you've got to hear the other side. What it's saying is, don't ever just hear one side to something and make a judgment or a discernment. That will not fly. Because the other party, the neighbor, is going to come along and give his side of it. And then what are you going to do when you find out he was the one that was correct to start with? So naturally the moral of it is always hear a problem all the way through. Every problem has two sides. You know, that's every contention has two sides. And you have to hear both sides before you can make a wise decision. A wise person will never judge something by hearing just one side. That will not fly.
Okay.
Verse 18. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. What was the lot? Well, in old times, priests cast lots and the answer came from God. And bang, that was it. That solved the problem totally and completely. It's heard from God. Well, what is the equivalent of that today? The Holy Spirit. When you present your case to the Holy Spirit, you pray about it, and what comes from that, that's it. That solves the contention. You know, many times in my lifetime, I have noted that people who were stubborn, who were not going to cooperate with a mate or someone else, when both prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit to intercede, minds changed. That it's a miracle.
Okay.
The way sometimes minds can be changed by the Holy Spirit. And man can't do it. You could talk till you were blue in the face. You could plead, beg, and whatever, and promise. But you could not change that mind. But when you pray about it, especially when the two pray together, the Holy Spirit can solve all contentions, just whoom, just like that. They cease. Verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I mean, those bars are there, and you cannot hardly break through them. What this means is, a brother offended is harder to be won. I get letters from people that say, my brother and I haven't spoken for 10 years. It's a hurtful, harmful thing. When somebody that you truly love hurts you, then it's magnified 10 times over that it hurts worse than ever. If an enemy had done it to you, you'd just not get mad, but get even. And that would be the end of story. But if it's somebody you love, if it's a brother, it hurts pitifully. It's just awful bad. And it would be easier to break the bars of a great city than it would to break through to that brother when two brothers like that hurt each other. And that is a shame. Because family is family, and blood is so much thicker than water. That they lose that, they could have loved, had that love going forever and ever. They're with each other. But, and this is not an unusual thing. It happens often. And you know what it's usually over? Bunch of nonsense. Childishness. Absolutely doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But it's just that if your brother does it to you, it hurts, you know. He shouldn't do that to me. How could he possibly do that to me? Well, people mess up, okay? Even brothers and sisters mess up. And it's a disgrace and a shame to let junk interfere with lives and destroy lives. Absolutely put you totally out over some little old thing that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But that's the way it goes. If a brother or sister that you truly love hurts you, it hurts to just magnify it. But then when this happens to you, you need to think about that and pray about it too. Because it's nonsense. It's childish. And that is your brother or sister. And God picked them for you. You didn't. So handle it, okay? And do it right with love, okay? Not hatred, not contention, with love. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, naturally, a man's mouth, when he decides with healthy food that he partakes, and it satisfies the belly, but the increase, that means if he has plenty, it's his lips that are what filled. His ability to utilize wisdom in his business, in his work, in his labors, in his profession. That's what enables you to have plenty to eat and to be able to feed your family properly. Now, your mouth can put it away. Boy, that's easy, you know. Just chunk her right down there and it's gone. But your lips, which are connected to your brain, your mind, is what gives the increase or keeps that coming. And you want to use it, okay, by your profession and what it is that you do. Do it well. Why? Well, how do I do that? Wisdom. Wisdom and understanding. That's why that these personal virtues that you have, this chapter draws out. It is written to help you and to strengthen you and mainly to have God's help in your life. Because when you do it His way, He's going to help you. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does that mean? What should the tongue do then? Be wise. That's the subject of the book, is to find wisdom. Wisdom speaks. And if you will find that wisdom, it will give you eternal life, or if you don't control the tongue, it can bring you right to the pits of hell. It can bring you death, eternal death. So there's a lot of power in that tongue and how you use it. What you allow it to do. So always think about that. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, if you find wisdom and you practice that wisdom, you're going to have eternal life. And you will choose life, certainly not death. Only a fool would choose death. Verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. In other words, the greatest gift God gave man was woman. Okay. And when a man finds a wife, that's a helpmate. That's a partner. That's a person that becomes 50-50, meaning you're both one body. She's 50% of that body and you're 50% of it because you both become one. Then, and obtain the favor of the Lord. If that union follows Almighty God, God blesses it. Okay. Oh, what a difference that makes. is to have God's blessings in the marriage, in the joining. 23. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. The word poor again is a needy person, and naturally, if they're in need, they're going to entreat you the best way they can, to use wisdom, whereby perhaps you can help them or give them their way. Whereas at the same time, a rich person may answer roughly. That's just life. That's unfortunately, this doesn't hold true in all cases. I've known some people that are wise and have grown wealthy with the blessings of God, and they practice that godly life. But naturally, sometimes they are quite busy and they can enter a little short. Don't take that as too much of an offense if that be the case. They're busy, okay? And you can take that, you can understand that if you stop and you think. Okay, last verse to complete the chapter, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In other words, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, to get along with people. But there comes along in a lifetime a few people that are. They will stick with you through thick and thin, and they will never leave you. They will never forsake you. They would practically die for you. You don't have friends like that one that come along just every day. And many military people gain this under severe conditions, that they find a friend that's a friend indeed. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to have a friend that you can count on regardless of what. You know they're there. They will stick with you through thick and thin and there and back again. Because they're just really... And this happens in lifetime, but not all that many times. And many of you have had just such a friend as that, and you know of what I speak. Okay? And always hang to a friend like that because they're precious. Okay. Don't miss the next lecture and this great book, the chapter we just finished, having to do with your personal virtue in life social events in your community, telling you how to get along. If you follow those rules, you will have God's blessings. If you follow His way and His advice, He basically guarantees it will be successful. So it does pay great dividends to listen to Him and to gain wisdom. Because this book of Proverbs, wisdom just flows from it. Open your mind and receive. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. You know, when you teach God's Word, just let the chips fall wherever they may. Never apologize for the Word of God. And you'll be doing just fine. Let God be the judge. He doesn't need our help in that. Discernment, you must acquire. Judgment, you don't need. That's a sin for one of us to judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. And again, always a pleasure. Now, if you've got a prayer request, you don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? He knows what you're thinking right now. You don't even have to say it out loud. He loves you. And what He wants primarily from you is your love. He created you, as it is written in the last verse of the fourth chapter of Revelation, for His pleasure. And when you love Him, that does pleasure Him. And when you give Him pleasure, He's certainly going to bless you. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and questions. We'll get right into it here. We're going to go with Mary from Massachusetts. How will I know what God wants me to do in this flesh life? I don't want to disappoint Him. Primarily, I always say, read Mark chapter 13. Every Christian that has knowledge and wisdom must face that, and that's the purpose of this in this generation, is to witness against the false one, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That's the highlight of Christianity at this time and in this generation. The generation of the fig tree. So, and naturally, that's where you read, that's where you start, but the whole word applies. Okay, Diana from Florida, could you find a verse that would give my daughter encouragement? She was just beat up severely by 7 and was in the hospital 6 days. She is frightened and doesn't know who to trust. God bless her, okay? The main thing, always know your friends. And certainly there's one thing that she sure can be sure of. None of those 7 were her friends. A friend is a person that'll stick with you, that'll stand by you. And she's had to learn a lesson there the hard way. But I want her to have a scripture. I want her to have 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And what it says there is that, you know, all things are common to everyone. It just happens. And God will never allow us to be tested over what we can handle. So she's a tough girl. She can cut it. She can handle it, or He would not have allowed that. But and the most beautiful part of that scripture is that He will always give us a way out. Why? Because you have the courage and the trust. Tell her to stay in God's Word. But again, I will repeat, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and we certainly will have her in our prayers. She will have God's blessings. Bessie from North Carolina, can your name be taken out of the book of life? Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 states that their name was not in the book of life. Why? Because it had been blotted out. And guess where they went? They went to hell, right into that burning lake of fire. So you bet your name can be taken out. It's blotted out. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. When you blot something out, you don't even exist. Okay? Wendy from California. Since discovering you on television, I've realized my local church is teaching false doctrines. I have basically stopped going to that church. The problem is, I put in writing a vow that I would tithe a certain amount to them. I know Job 22:27 says I must pay my vow. I want to do the right thing, but I don't want to support a false church. What should or can I do? Well, what you made the vow to God, okay? If God isn't being taught there, you can't very well pay your vow to God at a place that has false teachings. You always pay your vow where God's word is taught, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Okay. You're in good shape. Okay. That takes care of the vow, and so it is. I know that you are, what you have reference to is the second epistle of John. And the second epistle of John states that if we as much as wish them Godspeed, we become a partaker of their evil deeds. So you are correct within that. But you pay your vows to God where God's word is taught. Jane from, I don't know where Jane is from. She is a Native American. Can Christians participate in a powwow or dance that they do? Of course they can. The Green Corn Festival is from God's Word, basically. And many Native American dances, worships, and so forth are closer to the sacred name. I think of the Cherokees especially. And the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. And the Son of God, that is to say. So, absolutely. No problem there. You know, when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as you're not worshiping something else, you're in good shape. Herman from Louisiana, and your morals are correct, of course. Pastor Murray, what happened to the ones that died before the Antichrist comes? Will they have to worry about him? No, of course not. No problem. Those that have even gone on before, they didn't have to resist him because he wasn't here. His spirit was here, and if they resisted, the evil spirits were here. If you resisted those, then you overcame. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, then you don't have to worry about evil spirits. Tim from Kentucky. Did I hear you say that God destroyed cities in the first earth age? I didn't think there were cities in the first earth age. Well, there sure were. I want you to make a note of Jeremiah chapter 4. Begin reading about along verse 18, where somewhere along in there, God says, my children are just a little bit sottish. That word sottish in Hebrew means stupid. That they don't mind me all that well. I destroyed this thing once, and if you think I won't do it again, try me. Okay. That's what God is saying. And he says, I destroyed every city. This wasn't Noah's flood. This was the Katabo, the overthrow of Satan. Every entity. You know, in Noah's flood, certain people were saved. And that one, nobody was. Okay. You can read of it in chapter 4 of the great book of Jeremiah. Robin from California. I love your teachings. You've taught me so much. Well, thank you. Please tell me if when the wicked die, if they go to Hades until Judgment Day, also is Hades another name for hell? Hades is a name for, do you know what Hades means? It means grave. Okay. And so they go into the grave, the flesh body does, but Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 16 where the souls go, that's to say your spiritual body, doesn't die. It goes instantly to the Father who gave it. But when the souls all get there, there is a gulf in paradise. Those that do not overcome are on one side of that gulf, and those that overcome are with the Father on the other side. And we have the millennium that must transpire, and then not until that 20th, well, we had a question just prior, chapter 20, verse 15. That's where the great divide takes place. Some go into eternal life at the second resurrection, and some go to hell. But no one goes to hell except the roles of Satan before that great white throne judgment. David from South Carolina, we just know that we are together by appointment of God, and yet Laura's mom highly suggests that we don't get married because we are both diagnosed with the same disability. Are we living in sin by living with each other, true worshiping companions? Well, I do not have enough information here, but if the two of you love each other and you wish to get married, then I, you know, that's you're marrying each other. Her mother, really, other than loving her daughter and probably thinking for her betterment, would offer her advice, but the two of you must make your own minds up as to what you're going to do. I do not know what type of disabilities you're talking about, whether the two of you are able to sustain yourselves independently or what. So you just have to take it from there. Larry from Chicago. I hear people saying God wants to use his children well. I consider myself God's child, and I'm still waiting to find out my work. How will I know? I'm going to tell you, just like I did the person before that wondered what to do, Mark 13. There's a time approaching very soon when God's children, if you see the truth and if you recognize Antichrist, you've got to make a stand against him. Okay? That's what we put the gospel armor on and in place, is to stand against the fiery darts of Satan, and Satan is the Antichrist. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, to stand against. And that's what Christians are to do. And unfortunately, not too many Christians are even taught that the false Christ comes at the sixth trump and Christ will not return until the seventh. Meaning we got work to do. That's the beauty of Christianity. Read Mark chapter 13 and Matthew chapter 24. June from Tennessee. I've been a student for many years. Thank you for your help in understanding the Word. You're welcome. My question and concern is the computer, satellite systems, Big Brother, cell phones, GPSs, iPods, Blackberries, and so forth. More and more, this is becoming a way to intervene, demanding, and all too controlling. I am seeing so many of my friends and family getting hooked on or becoming slaves to all of this because of business or pleasure or both, barely able to come up for air. Well, it is true, you know, that some people get hooked on the internet and chat rooms and so forth, and some of it's pretty bad stuff. Okay, you always use wisdom. Use the high technology to further your ability to serve God. Okay. But do not waste your time on nonsense and communication that does not prove productive. There is only one thing worse than a sluggard. And that's, what was it that he likened a sluggard to in today's lecture? A waster. And to waste your time and to waste God's time is a terrible thing. So, and at the same time, I want to add, there's nothing wrong with recreation also. You know, if a person has a certain amount of time, but you should allot yourself a certain amount of time. I know that some people can go all day practically on a computer or something like of that nature, and usually it's a bunch of nonsense before it and doesn't quite reach from A to B. Okay, Sandra from Kentucky. Sandra, never compromise your morals. Okay, and always fish out of the right side of the boat, or you're not going to catch anything. Okay, that's Christ's advice, and it's always been real sound. But don't ever, ever compromise morals. That's a no-no. PC from Georgia, greetings. Please help me explain Genesis 10. It appears to conflict with the six-day man. Thank you so very much for your devoted and loving service. Well, you're so very welcome. Well, Genesis chapter 10 does say that from the family of Noah, the earth was populated, but it means with Adamic, Eth-Ha-Adam, people. That is to say, the people through which Christ would come. But you've got to go back to chapter 6 where he was loading the ark, And he was told to take two of every flesh aboard that ark. And so he took the six-day creation aboard that ark, two of each peoples. And the people that are mentioned in Adam's family would be the genealogy and the key of David through which Christ would come. That's why it's so important that that family, that man's family, is always singled out, because it is the family through which Christ would come. And the importance is that you would know the true Christ and his genealogy, the key, from the fake. Okay? This is why Cain's genealogy is given in Genesis 4, and Adam's genealogy is given in chapter 5. So you don't get them mixed up. Okay? There is a difference, and a wise person keeps them separate. But they were there. It's just that those mentioned are those through which Christ would come ultimately. Ken from Michigan, let me hasten to add, and the others, when they come in contact with that family, are still written of in the Word of God, but only when they come in contact with that family. Does not mean God thinks any less of them. But it's very important that we have the key of David that absolutely opened the gates of hell for us, to free people, if you know the truth, to release them. Ken from Michigan, are all of the one-third of the angels that were with the devil, are their spirits here on earth as well? I think they are in this generation. I think that God, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I think that God had that generation that was deceived by Satan to live in this generation when Satan will appear as the false Christ, to see whether they've learned to cut it or not. This is why that, as of a very few years ago, I think that morals begin to go south big time. Because I think those people were born and became of age, and there is a great deal of difference in the United States of America from when I was a boy and today. A great deal of difference, and I'm speaking morally and spiritually. It's kind of a shame. But we still have the freedom, and it is guaranteed to worship and to protect those morals. This is a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. We're going to keep it that way. Jeff from Texas, when languages were mixed up after the Tower of Babel, could this have been the start of cultures and nations? Don't cultures and nations around the world begin their heritage with languages? Well, basically, that's the way they communicate, and communication solves problems. When a family ceases to communicate, they're in trouble, okay? Because they're letting little things become mountains. Like we were talking about earlier, they don't work their problems out, and that's a sad, sad situation. Shane and Jenna from Florida, a question. We hope you can help us with this. I would like to know if there is even an answer. At what age does a child cross the threshold of being the innocent Lamb of God, for which he will be judged of no sin? Well, when he becomes at the age of accountability, he's accountable for what he does. Okay, we always are accountable for what we do. Unfortunately, that's where a great deal of the trouble is in this world, is people not stepping up to the plate and accepting responsibility for their own dealings, for what you do. And so I see that you have two sons, and you raise them in the way of the Lord, and they're not going to depart for it forever, okay? And they will be exposed to a lot of stuff. Don't shelter children whereby they're not prepared for the world. You have to teach them accordingly, okay? And I guess I can say this as an old Marine would say it. Don't raise hothouse lilies, okay? They'll wilt in this world and in this time. You have to prepare them for this world and still protect the morals. Keep it moral, but teach the truth as well. Richard from South Carolina. my father died and he told me he would always pray for me. Now that he is in heaven, and his prayer is still effective, can he still pray being in heaven? Of course he can. You know, he's with the Lord. He's not passed away. The flesh is in the grave, of course, but he's with the Father. And his prayers if he told you he would always pray for you, I'm sure God hears his prayers. But don't you forget to pray. You pray for your Father, okay? Don't expect him to carry the water in your family. You pray for him too, okay? This thing works both ways. Justine from Iowa, 12 years old. What happens in heaven when you die, or hell when you die? Is it in the Bible? If it is, what book, chapter, and verse? Well, Jesus gave us a good example in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, and I'm out of time. Bless you. Thanks. A good question. Real good question. You know, you people in Iowa are in our prayers. What a terrible tornado. Okay. Again, out of time. I love you all. But most of all, God loves you for studying His Word. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. You know what? He will always bless you. Why? He loves you. That's why. Now, there's one thing most important, though, and it's this, that you stay in His Word, and that